Welcome to Career Tools. This week, what to do when you've been furloughed, part two. The questions this cast answers are, what actions should I take at work to prepare for being furloughed? What actions should I take at home to prepare for being furloughed? And what should I do now? We're pleased to announce the release of our Effective Communicator Conference in virtual format. We're now accepting registrations at manager-tools.com/training. The event is going to start with a 4-hour virtual session with a live trainer who will answer all of your questions, and then we'll give you access to our online practice. You'll be given the scenarios, the opportunity to practice, and then you'll send in videos for evaluation by the presenter. All of this and a DISC assessment for the low price of $450. Register today. Sarah, last week we talked about the day zero task, which was cut and cut hard on your expenses. We talked about the day one task, which was find out what you're entitled to and apply for it. And now we're on day two of being furloughed, and we're going to assume that you've been laid off.
Mm-hmm. When you're furloughed, or it looks like you are going to be or could potentially be furloughed, you want to assume that you'll be fully laid off and will need a new job. Start looking for something new. That is your job on day two. And we wrote at the beginning of the guidance, when furloughs start, they tend to spread throughout the economy. Sadly, where furloughs happen, layoffs are soon to follow. And a company that furloughs its workers is hoping that the reduced labor costs in the short term might be enough to see it through this barren period. But guys, it's an attempt to make what limited cash the company has last a little bit longer. But at some stage, if this doesn't turn around, if revenue doesn't pick up, if the customers don't come back, the company will run out of cash, even with the limited expenditure on costs. So at some point, there could be a chance that they don't have a choice but to lay their staff off. And if it comes to a point where they've tried to cut costs and made all those measures, chances are it could be without severance.
Yeah. And we're normally optimistic people.
Right? Doesn't sound like it.
We said this in the last cast. This time, we're being Chicken Little. We're telling you the sky is falling in, because if you assume the worst and the best happens, you'll be okay. If you assume the best and the worst happens, you will not be okay. And we desperately want you to be okay. So assume when you've been furloughed that you are not going back to that job, no matter what the company says. Not what your manager says, what your peers say. Your manager may be the most trustworthy person you know. And Mark always says about Mike, if Mike tells you it's Christmas, get your stocking ready. Because if Mike says it's Christmas, it's Christmas. Which is true. And your manager might say, I believe we are going to be back in a month. And it may be the truth at that point, and it may be totally true. But that manager cannot predict everything that's going to happen.
Absolutely not. I can't predict what's going to happen tomorrow.
Exactly.
How would they know?
Right? So let's believe them. Let's trust in the relationship. And then let's also prepare for the hurricane just in case it hits us. So you can assume that not only is it not you that's going back to your job, but none of your coworkers are going back to their job either. So if you work in a team of 10 JavaScript front-end developers, the company lays off all 10, it's not just you that's looking for a job as a front-end developer.
Right.
It's 9 other people that you're competing. And that's a horrible place to be in, to be competing with people you've worked with, people who you have relationships with for a limited number of jobs. It's horrible when you see someone you know, or someone you've worked with, and you're coming out of an interview and they're in reception going in, and you know it's them against you. It's a horrible place to be. So if you start now, then you can be the one who has a job and brings other people into that job rather than being in that horrible position.
Absolutely. And guys, your company isn't going to be upset that they sent you on furlough and you've resigned in the meantime, right? No offense, but they're not going to be disappointed. They're going to be relieved, because you're one less person they have to worry about, that they have to think about, that they have to pay, that they might have to lay off. Look for a job so you can help the others if it happens. And of course, we have tons of guidance about looking for a new role and assessing offers and assessing a company that you want to move to or potentially want to move to before you accept the offer. And in this situation, there's a particularly special piece of guidance now. When you're looking for something new, you need to consider the economic situation that's unfolding around us and how it impacts the company you're looking to potentially join.
During COVID-19, hotels were the first companies to furlough and lay off their workers. Yep. And anyone who is working in a hotel and has been furloughed should not be looking for a job in another hotel. Because if Marriott has just furloughed you or laid you off and the Hilton down the road is hiring, the Hilton is just behind the curve. Because if Marriott have got no people in their hotel, the Hilton isn't going to have any either. And there's a difference between in a good market, two different hotels' abilities to market and retain their customers and have, what do they call it in hotels, about how full they are?
Oh, goodness, I don't know the word.
I can't think of the word, but there's a measure in
capacity?
Hotels. Yeah, of how many beds they have and how many beds they sold for that night. And in a good economy, that's to do with marketing and customer service and all of those things. In a bad economy or in a situation like we're in right now, where occupancy, that's what it's called, is like 10%. It's 10% across the board.
Or less.
Yeah. So the Hilton may think they're still hiring, but their occupancy is 10% too. And they don't have the money to hire and keep their staff any more than the Marriott does. So don't think, oh, it's okay, I can just go to the same company or the company in the same industry down the road and they'll be fine, because they may well not be. So you want to think differently. Some companies act fast and some companies act slow. What you don't want to do is go to a company that's acting slow and then just go through the same thing 3 months later.
Absolutely. And you want to think instead then about all the things you could do. That is, the reason we, as a hotel staff member, choose to work at another hotel is because of the skill set, right? We can easily move there. That's what we possess in our skills. And where we choose to apply for new roles are at companies that we're predicting to survive the economic crisis or are counter-cyclical. And counter-cyclical, guys, means they do better when the economy is bad. So in the case of this example, the hotel receptionist. Now, we'd recommend you not look for a job at another hotel. Rather, keep in mind your skill set. Your skill set being has experience with customer service, problem solving, cash handling, teamwork, communications, right? Customer interaction, and handling confidential information. Now, that set of skills lends itself really well to a receptionist at a medical practice. It uses the same skill set. And medical practices are a slightly more reliable or safer place in an economic downturn.
Yeah, people do, we said in the last class, people put off going to the doctor, which is true, they do. On the other hand, there are times when it's essential that you go to the doctors, so that they do have a sort of guaranteed bottom limit to their revenue. So medical practice, a receptionist in medical practice may be a safer job than finding another hotel. And we have a podcast called 5 Jobs from This Resume, which has a bunch of examples like this if you're finding it difficult to work out what else could I do.
Your skills. Yeah, absolutely. All right. That takes us to day 3. Day 3, updating your resume. So start to work on your resume now. This is day 3 job, guys. The worst time, and some of you know this time because you've been there, the worst time to work on your resume is in the hour after you promised to send it to somebody. In that hour, you're going to miss important achievements. You're going to have spelling and grammatical errors. Mark and Wendy have talked about this. They estimate that 30% of the resumes they've seen have an error in them. It's simple. A new full-time role will almost certainly require you to have a resume. You know that information now. So there's no reason to wait to begin that work.
My favorite ever resume error was the person who put the wrong phone number on, so we couldn't call them for an interview.
That happened?
Yeah.
I feel so bad for them.
Fortunately, they had an email address and we emailed them, but it was like, when you dial the number and it's a wrong number, it's just like, how bad can this be?
Exactly. And that's when you're rushing, right?
You're
trying to get it done because you promised it to Wendy in an hour. Dang it. I got to focus.
Yeah, there's this opportunity and I've got to get it on it now.
Yeah, exactly.
And, you know, with regards to your resume, we have detailed guidance on what to track, recording your achievements, using those to update your resume, as well as what to do if you haven't tracked your results. And we have guidance on what to include and not to include on your resume, what to write, how to write it, and the common mistakes and critiques of full resumes on the resume website. And we're also offering the resume workbook for free if you've been laid off. All you have to do is send us an email, customerservice@manager-tools.com. And if you go to the website, manager-tools.com, and you look in the top right-hand corner, you should see a little image that looks like a Sputnik. And it's the symbol for the map of the universe. Click on that. And then there is a section called Changing Jobs. And all of the stuff about your resume, about interviews, about offers, about assessing companies, all of that stuff is in Changing Jobs. We're not going to include all of this now because then this cast would be 87 parts. but the other thing is, remember that you may be disconnected from your company systems if you're furloughed. And definitely you will be if you're laid off. So you need all the data that you need to update your resume. Get that now while you're still connected.
Absolutely. Things that you want to be looking for, guys, in terms of that, are your projects completed? That is, were you the lead or a part, played a part in a project? Data about your sales, your customer satisfaction rates, bugs resolved, and any other data that you deem relevant to your role. Specifics about your ability to influence or affect revenue increase, cost reductions, time savings that you've achieved or contributed to. Specifics about error rates, ticket resolution, data about the size of projects, like the number of users, the budgets, team size that it took to fulfill the project itself. Dates of promotions or just other job changes, potential referees, annual and other reviews, training course completions, certifications, leadership and managerial activities. All of those things stored in your computer.
So you want to look in your email, your calendar, your documents, your notes, your filing, your paperwork, online portals. For instance, your reviews could be in an HR portal and any other communication channel. So we have pinned documents in Slack where that's a document that one of us created that helps other people. We might want to either keep and take with us, or we might want to use as an example of helping other people learn things. And then other repositories of your work. So you might have a code repository, for example. And if in doubt, capture the information, because it's always better to have
better
more
to
than
have
less.
It.
Yeah. And use a means of capture that you can take home with you. So you can print it, or you can email it to yourself, or you can use an online repository like Google Drive or Dropbox, but it has to be your personal account so that you will still be able to access it when you get home. And we're not encouraging you here to take information that is under an NDA or proprietary in any way. We're not saying like, take all the things and like take your customer list so you can steal it from the company and use it later. What we're talking about is information that shows how well you did your job so that you can use that in job interviews and on your resume.
Absolutely. Unfortunately, many of us still don't know when we'll be able to go back to the office. And while Manager Tools is always optimistic, we're conservative in nature and plan accordingly, which is why we're still working to make every manager effective and every professional productive through virtual training instead. For our client organizations, we'll work with a group of up to 30 individuals with our effective manager and now also our effective communicator client sessions. Pricing's more affordable than when we come on site, and we've found a way for interaction, practice, and just as rich a benefit. Contact us by emailing Maggie at maggie@manager-tools.com for more information. All right, takes us to day 4 now. Day 4, stay in touch. Now, guys, while at the same time, as we've mentioned multiple times, preparing for worst case scenario, we don't want you to take actions, or I guess alternately, or rather, not take actions that will make the best case scenario worse, right? If you're called back to work after you've been out for a month or even more, but you've not spoken to any of your coworkers in the time you've been home, your relationships with your coworkers and peers will be terrible. You're going to have wasted all of the effort that I know everyone out there right now is doing into building relationships and rapport with the others you work with. So instead, stay in touch.
So with your closest coworkers, with your colleagues, with your peers, you want to check in with them daily. And we're not talking something formal. We're not sending an email right? that says, hello, it's Tuesday. How are you? You could set up a group chat or a WhatsApp group or a Facebook group, or, you know, join each other on TikTok, which will drive Mark mad.
I know. Right?
I feel like I don't know what the young people are using. So I just listed some things.
They're cooler than us.
Right? So whatever way makes sense to you in making a group chat or a way that you can communicate as a group. And then you can share pictures and information and ask your colleagues how they're doing. We're talking about a casual, collegial communication, not a formal, it's Tuesday, how are you, kind of thing. We want to use the same kind of tone, the casual tone that we use with our colleagues at work on a daily basis. So, for instance, if you saw your colleague in the coffee room, in the break room, and you're both making coffee, whatever tone you would use, whatever question you would ask, whatever you would share in that moment is what you want to be sharing in that group. You want to kind of keep that collegial relationship going.
Exactly. And you want to have the group chat, but you also want to check in with each of your colleagues more privately, right? Now, in my experience, more than ever, we have a similar situation and opportunity to commiserate, right? Mm-hmm. All of the parents out there are struggling at the same time with homeschooling their children, right? Offer concrete assistance. Help one another through this experience or offer a shoulder to cry on. This is the continuation of the relationship you had at the office, right? You want to be there for each other now as you were before.
For example, one thing I just thought of is I quite often get coupons in the mail for places that I never go to, like McDonald's. I don't go to McDonald's because I have no children, and that's kind of in my head where people go to McDonald's. I could easily give those coupons to a coworker who has children and allow them to go out and get some, you know, fast food and a toy for their kids. That's one way of sharing something with a colleague. That is a continuation of the kind of relationship you have at work. If I when I was working, I would do that, you know, with my colleagues who had children. I got these in the mail. You know, here you are. So you can carry on with that. With your boss, you want to check in with your boss daily. And the reason the colleagues and the boss are daily is because that's how often you check in with them now.
Yeah, right? Exactly.
And you can use the group chat to check in with your boss or include him if that's appropriate to your team. And we have a test for that. The test is the barbecue test. So if you are going to have a barbecue at your house and you're inviting your team, your colleagues, and you're inviting your friends, would you invite your boss? If you would, you can invite him to the group chat. If you wouldn't, don't, right? We always say a boss is not part of the team, right? Because a boss can fire you and the rest of the team can't. There is a difference in that relationship. And so if you want to have a group chat where, you know, you can talk about things in the way that you talk about things when your boss isn't present, then you probably want to exclude your boss from that. You don't need to tell them. You don't need to say, oh, we've got a group chat and you're not in it.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly.
Just don't tell them it's there. And if you have that separation, then you still need to be checking in with your boss.
Yeah. Guys, whether they're part of the group chat or not, you need to be checking in daily, privately as well, right? Again, we're thinking this is the continuation of the relationship you have already. So you'd be covering similar topics, right? Now, it'd be counterproductive to you to be trying to pump your boss for more information about the shutdown. Like, a couple things. One, in the first place, it's probable that they don't know any more than you do. It's an ever-changing and evolving situation. They don't know anything. And if they do, they can't tell you. And you're asking questions that you're not privy to the answer, it doesn't reflect well on you. It really doesn't. So
I'm reminded, Mark and I met each other in Dallas Airport. Before I moved to the States, it was the last my last flight from the UK to the US. And then I stayed here. We met in the Admirals Club in Dallas. And our first words to each other were, "I've got something for you." And we both opened our briefcases and in the pulled out like tear outs from magazines. I was like, "Oh, I saw this article. I thought, yeah." And we switched. It was really funny. We had like 10 pages each. That kind of relationship, like that's our relationship, or that's part of our relationship, is we're both interested in a lot of things. We both read a lot of things and we both like sharing them. So I would continue to send him things that I read if we were separated because of this kind of shutdown. So it's not just a kind of, "Oh, now we've got no projects. I've got nothing to talk about." Like, most people do have a more well-rounded relationship with their boss. And so those kind of things you can continue to share, as well as stuff about work and tasks.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And you guys, you can also talk about work and tasks. Legally, in most countries, as we said previously, an employee cannot do work during a furlough. Now, your boss may well be scrupulously avoiding giving you any work, and you can still work on progressing your work and career while on furlough. Like Wendy shares about sharing articles, you're progressing your career and your knowledge in an area or in that respect. It's work-related, but it's not work. You can still share those types of items. Absolutely.
And you know your work and your projects. Like, what could you do now to make going back after furlough better for everybody, right? Mark suggested saying to your boss, "Look, I know you can't give me anything to do. And I don't think it's work if I love doing it. So I'm going to be working on X and Y and Z. And not that you heard that from me, and I'm not putting it in an email," right? You don't want to get your boss into trouble, right? And we're also not saying you have to be working during furlough. Like this, sometimes when we say this kind of thing and we say, "Go the extra mile," people are like, "Well, you shouldn't be telling people to work 80 hours a week." We're not saying that. We're saying, if you want to, and if you're interested in doing so, and we think there's benefits to continuing the relationship with the people that you work with. And remember, even if you are all laid off, those contacts are useful to you. So, you know, killing the relationship now is, even if you think the worst is going to happen, it's short-sighted. And maybe there's a pet project that you've always wanted to do and never had time to do, and it's work-related, and you can spend a couple of hours on it, right? You can do that, and then you're still progressing your career whilst you're on furlough. No one can stop you thinking about your work or researching interesting topics that might have value or improving your skills or having conversations about your industry or catching up on your reading or learning a new productivity program, all of which are helpful and none of which are work. So we're not encouraging you to break the law. We're not encouraging you to do work that's unpaid. We're saying there are things you can do if you want to continue progressing your career while you're not working.
Exactly. Now, we've talked about relationship with coworkers, colleagues. We've talked about relationship with manager. Now, relationship with your wider network. You want to stay in touch with your wider company and company-related network about as often as you'd be in touch with them in a normal in-person work week. So for example, if you're a project manager and you're in touch with the sales team about upcoming projects and kind of what's going on about once a week, remain in contact with that individual roughly once per week during your time on furlough. And again, this is a continuation of the relationship you have at work, right? It shouldn't be formal or, "Dear Wendy, I wanted to see how things are on the sales team." It's not that. It's just a touch base. So for example, "Hey, Wendy, I hope you're well. I'm teaching my kids math today and am realizing that I should have paid more attention when I was in school. Let me know if there's anything I can do to help.
Right. Or, hey, Rebecca, I hope you're doing well. I saw this article about sales to counter-cyclical industries, and I thought it might be useful to you. Let me know if there's any subjects I can look out for you. I've got a lot of reading time on my hands these days, right? It's casual but helpful.
Exactly. Another example. Annabelle, my spouse read an article this week about how Lowe's is hiring accounting staff. And I know we're only on furlough, but I thought this might be helpful for other people to know. My spouse says that the article points out how well Lowe's is doing during the downturn because, of course, everyone who's stuck at home would rather update their house than move, and put the link in it.
Right. Because that person, if that person is an accountant and they're not been laid off yet, they know other accountants. And so if Lowe's is hiring accountants, that might be useful to someone in their network. Right. Mm-hmm. So now we've done everything, or at least what you do on the first 4 days of your furlough. We've given you plenty to do. Now, in the next cast, we're going to talk about what to do before you're furloughed. And just in case you didn't listen to the last one and you weren't listening properly to this one, all of the things that we've just talked about, we are going to tell you to do before you're furloughed. So we're giving you a sneak peek of what next week says. Next week says, do all of that so you can get started. And we'll pick up next week with what to do before you're furloughed.
You bet.
Bye, everyone.